I just saw a player tweet about how they've like joined with a company to invest in this service that will allow people with NFTs to print their NFTs for the first time.
Yeah, I just bought a printer the other day. I got it at Staples Center.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Full Court Mess. We are recording live on Twitch right now. It is Wednesday, December 1st at the time of streaming and recording this. Remember that if you ever want to watch it live, try and catch us Wednesday nights at 6 Pacific. And yeah, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, you know where to listen to it. All right. This week, we missed the last 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Thanksgiving, and then I was graduating before that. So there's a lot that happened.
Everybody say congrats to Jerry.
Let's give it up for the big dog.
No.
Mr. 4.0.
Mr. 4.0 master's degree boy.
Heyo. There's no denying the facts.
These are facts. These are stats.
Ball don't lie.
Number, but yeah, numbers don't lie. Men lie, women lie. Numbers don't.
True. Yeah, a lot happened. Do you think LeBron meant to smack that man?
Yes.
Let's get into that. Let's just start with that.
I think so.
I fully ascribe to the theory that he meant to hit him, but then accidentally hit him like way more solid than he was planning on.
Yeah, I think that's...
Maybe planning on elbowing, like, ribs or something. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, that's your jaw.
Yeah, I think it was definitely, like, a frustration hit that's like, oh, well, I did a little too much there.
I do have the quote from Isaiah Stewart after the incident. He said, I watched the film. I didn't feel like it was an accident. My focus is on my team and playing basketball. I won't let that define who I am. What Detroit drafted me for is what will define who I am.
Okay.
So Isaiah Stewart also doesn't think it was an accident. And he had a first-hand account.
Yeah, it's really hard, especially the overhead angle. It's really hard to watch and say it was an accident.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks pretty clear.
Yeah, he looks at the guy almost.
Yeah. LeBron after the game was like, I guess it, like, he was saying, like, it didn't warrant an ejection, except for, like, he said something like, I guess it warrants an ejection just because of, like, being worried about tensions being too high if I stay in the game and the crowd. And I'm like, no, what warrants an ejection is that it's a flagrant two. That's how it works.
Yeah.
If it's a flagrant two, you're ejected. It's not like, it's a flagrant two, but, like, people might get too rowdy.
Flagrant two, but I'm LeBron.
He hit him on purpose, yeah, and the guy's face started spouting blood all over the court.
Yeah.
We've
seen much lighter flagrant twos get called and guys get ejected and even suspended for. That was a hefty blow to the head.
Yeah. One thing we learned though
on the ground. Like usually it's like trying to stop a dunk and you're midair and you undercut a guy or you hit his head or whatever. This was like on the ground, firmly planted, elbow here. It was like a Ron Artest on James Harden. Boom. Yeah. Not running down the court, but it
one
had
thing
a
we learned though
is
Isaiah Stewart should be playing football.
Yeah.
Because they could not hold him back.
I tweeted after the replay of that at Detroit Lions, you like what you see. Because that guy broke about 6 tackles.
He did.
And for being like 6'10" awesome. Or whatever he is, had some agility, some lateral quickness.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting up Mel Kiper's big board as we speak.
Yeah.
It just really made me think. The one of the biggest senses I got from it was, like, I just instantly thought about how old LeBron actually is. and about this 20-year-old with all this energy and who's just seeing red coming at him, and he's like closer to 40 than he is to 30. He had to have just like, I mean, it's obvious. You see him on the replays. He got himself the hell out of there, but he had to have just been thinking like, oh, I can't be scrapping with the monstrous 20-year-olds anymore.
And luckily, Russell Westbrook like got 15 the hell feet away in there.
Yeah, they said it was when LeBron realized there was an actual fight, he got the hell away. When Russ realized there was an actual fight, he tried to get in.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because you think he would have learned his lesson from when he tried to fight Nene.
Oh, man.
That is a man you do not fight.
That's what it kind of reminded me of. Just like in terms of like pure solid human and like what a difference it means when you're that big and that strong. Because I just remember like Russell Westbrook trying to shove Nene and like falling backwards when he tried to push him. Jimmy Butler getting fucked up. I mean, it's just like that's the guy who it was evoked the most for me. It was like, it's just, this is a wrong guy scenario. He's way stronger than y'all.
Yeah. Speaking of fights, the Jokic rematch was that last night, 2 nights ago?
Last night, I think. No, 29th. Yeah, night. 2 nights ago. Sorry.
2 nights ago. Yeah, Jokic versus the Heat. Jimmy Butler was out. Someone else was out.
Was that the game where Jokic's brothers were in attendance again?
Yeah, Jokic's brothers were there. For some reason, that game was so hyped up and like nothing happened. Nothing was going to happen.
No.
The Heat
Jokic probably literally forgot the whole thing. Had no idea what they were even talking about.
Yeah. No, did you see his quote afterwards when they asked him if the booze affected him?
Oh, yeah. He goes,
I played basketball in Serbia. No, they didn't affect me.
Yeah. And then they were partying that night.
The Jokic incident some with the LeBron one, just because I was laughing a little bit at the, I know LeBron didn't hit this dude in the back, and I guess he has some deniability it wasn't on purpose, although it looked very on purpose. Yeah. It was just really funny. I'm like, he hurt him way more than Jokic hurt Markieff Morris.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was like, man, he obliterated this dude.
Yeah. He busted his face open while Morris was just like pushed on the ground.
Very little talk of LeBron turning his back on Isaiah Stewart after he hit him so hard in the face. Noted in all caps.
Oh, man. Yeah, then do you see the Jokic brothers went partying that night?
Oh, yeah, they had
in Miami, after everyone was like, yeah, Jokic ain't welcome
they
here.
They played like the Serbian up, national like, MVP anthem sign. At the club.
Yeah. Yeah, see, all the beef, it's not shit. People hype it up so much, it's not shit.
It's been said a million times, it's completely true, especially ever since 2004. NBA players, pure and simple, are not allowed to fight. In no way. Every once in a while, you'll get a Isaiah Stewart who kind of loses his mind for a second and has to be held back. But they have effectively legislated fighting completely out of the game.
Yeah,
nobody's good at anything.
I've seen some clips through Instagram or other things of like fights from like the 70s and 80s NBA, and it's like wrestling matches and boxing matches. Mm-hmm. At times, like guys are literally like this in front of each other, like waiting for someone to throw a punch. Like they're just waiting for it and ready for it. And it's like big men. Like it was like Daryl Dawkins and some other guy. It was like 7 foot, 300-pound dudes just ready to like lay haymakers on each other.
Yeah, it's just if you do it,
never happen again.
Yeah, you do it now. You're looking at least a season long ban.
Yeah,
it's way the financial penalty is way too much for everybody.
I
mean, I
imagine Malice at the Palace was
that was it
pretty major for that. Yeah, like hey, they do not want people are tweeting too. Like, is this going to be another Malice at the Palace? Because the LeBron thing that was in Detroit, and it's like no, it's not.
Really, he's trying to fight one guy who's on the court with him.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen again. The closest thing to Malice in the Palace that would happen are like the Jokic brothers running onto the court, which would be kind of sick, actually.
You know how you know that's never ever going to happen again is a couple years ago when Khabib beat Conor McGregor and he jumped the fence to go after his team afterwards because of all the shit they had said. People lost their minds freaking out about it, and that was at a fight
Yeah,
they couldn't handle that somebody was fighting in the stands at a fight.
Yeah,
you definitely can't handle it in any other sports anymore.
Yeah.
Side note, the Malice in the Palace documentary on Netflix, very good.
I shouldn't
make that hand gesture. That's been appropriated by the wrong crowd.
It's good in a white supremacist way.
Those listening should know that Joe is a white supremacist now.
Oh, no. Please.
Just kidding.
It's
We should watch the... Like, Will, have you seen the Malice at the Palace talk yet or no?
No, I haven't.
You and I should watch it, and then we can, like, discuss it on one of the podcasts.
We should have, like, a viewing party with the our friends sometime. Get the get the fans on and check out a good short.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, I think it's like an hour. It's not too much of an undertaking.
To prepare for it, let's all get together and watch every episode of The Last Dance.
I was about to say, I haven't seen that yet.
So I didn't watch it.
Need to watch that.
Yeah,
I've seen it. Seen it also. It's very good.
You can do that.
Worth the watch. Even knowing how it ends, obviously, like it's still like pretty suspenseful.
No spoilers.
I'm a little worried about my chances of ever watching it because if I didn't watch it during the height of like COVID, then when am I going to?
Yeah.
They really did release it at the first time.
When I watched it.
Yeah, and I just...
The height of COVID/unemployment. I was like, 2 nights, like, and done easily.
Yeah, we should do that. That'd be cool. We have, like, a pod discussion about what we saw. Kind of like a spoiler cast, except we know what happened.
Jared, fill us in some. What went down and how did it go down between the Suns and the Warriors?
Suns are good. I mean, there's this old man in the league who's been leading teams to championships, and his name is Jay Crowder.
I saw rumors that Jay Crowder outscored Steph Curry.
He did. Steph had it was Steph's worst shooting night when like
in a long time 12 points
in a long no it's yeah in attempting I think when attempting 20 shots or something it's the worst it was his worst shooting night of his career, which it happens.
Was Chris Paul guarding him or was it like a combined?
It was a combo. I think McCall was on him too. McCall Bridges.
Yeah, I heard like, somebody say he had a trip to McCall.
Really good.
That's the right guy.
Yeah, but even like in the mid game interview and like post game interview, Monty Williams was like, when they're asking like, well, what was part of, you know, shutting Curry down? And Monty was still like, well, he missed shots.
Yeah. I mean, it's
like,
just, it's
even
just
even there, like you know, we guarded him a little bit. He missed shots. He's not going to always miss that.
Yeah. What was the final score? Like, what was the margin in that game?
8.
Wow.
Let me check.
104 to 96, I think.
Yeah, which ends
pretty low scoring.
Yeah, it ends a 53, I think. Warriors streak of scoring 100 in a game in a row. So,
and that goes back to last year when they had like, you know, a down year.
Yeah.
Like they still had 30 games to end the season with over 100.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool streak. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Curry had off night. I think Wiggins, they said he was playing through back spasms. In my opinion, and I think you shouldn't try to
I can't even imagine. I can barely walk with back spasms.
Yeah, like, and they
let alone stuff, like but... play basketball competitively at the highest level.
It's like, bro, if you have back spasms, you just take the loss. It's fine.
Yeah, it's like There's like being tough, and then there's you're not even useful in this state.
Yeah.
I'll just go ahead and say if you have anything with the word spasms in it, just
take go a home. Seat. Get I mean, but rest. Yeah, I could sit here and be like, oh, you know, this guy was off and this guy was hurt, but like, the Suns are good, dude. Like it was a crazy win. Last night capped off a perfect month for them.
That's nuts. I'm hearing y'all are also playing again on Friday or something, right?
Yeah.
It's just
for the Warriors, that's a back-to-back matchup, but the Suns have a game in between.
Okay. That'll be incredible if they win that one, too. It's so hard to beat teams twice.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the longest win streak since when? Is it the longest win streak since the Heatles, or has there been another middle one since then? Oh, no, since the Warriors started 24-0.
Because the last perfect month to happen was the Warriors in 15.
Okay, so it must have been since the Warriors did it to start the year. They started off 1-2 and then have rattled off 17 straight.
Yeah, which is good for them. Also, I saw this, I think a screenshot or something of different categories of proficiency, like defensive and offensive proficiency and all this stuff, or efficiency. And JaVale's in the top 10 of most of those.
Yeah.
and his PER is super high, all this stuff. He's having a good season too.
He's playing good ball. It's for me and no one else very frustrating.
he was balling on the Warriors last night. But also that's the funny thing with the matchup too, is they have Ayton and then McGee comes in, and our biggest guy right now is Looney.
Kevin's used to that. He had to play through a whole playoffs with a separated shoulder being the only big for the entire Warriors team.
He's a trooper.
I think Mikal Bridges has a legitimate shot at defensive player of the year.
I think so. He's fun.
And the social media campaign for him has kind of begun this guy's legit good, and here's a bunch of highlights of how good he is, and that'll just keep growing. Especially if the Suns win 60 plus games, there'll be a reason for that. And I think there's a better, much better chance of him winning Defensive Player of the Year or Most Improved Player than Paul or Booker or Ayton winning MVP.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give recognition for how good they are somehow. And I bet it's Bridges Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I think so.
I saw somebody say it's time. Speaking of the kind of the hype beginning, I saw it say it's time to start talking about Mikal as an all-star. Somebody quote tweeted it and said, "Where is this energy for Andrew Wiggins?"
I saw that, and I was like,
"Everyone's just non-existent because he's not as good."
Yeah.
He's been playing good ball, but he's just objectively not as good.
Yeah, he has been playing good ball, but he's not, when all-star voting comes around and you see a team of first you're going to vote for Steph, then you're probably going to vote for Dre. People are probably going to vote for Jordan Poole over Wiggins right now, because Jordan Poole
is going to get more votes than Wiggins.
Yeah, Clay's going to get more votes.
You know what's really good? Candy. Quote tweet. Where is this energy for broccoli? They are not the same thing.
Yeah.
I also just love imagining it, though. Imagine it did happen. Imagine turning on the All-Star game and seeing Mikal Bridges running next to Andrew Wiggins out there and just turning it off immediately. They're like, wow, look at the wing defense these two guys are playing.
I would be if I saw that, I'd be oh, that's cool. They let Wiggins back into the Rising Stars game.
Yes, I would legit think it was the Rising Stars game, no matter what age they were.
Yeah. Age
28. Andrew Wiggins. I don't think he's that old yet.
I love that they started this new all-star event for rangy wings who were top 10 picks.
What if there was a defensive player Rising Stars game, but it was all defense? What would that even look like?
If you did
5 minute quarters and you had eight guys per roster. Just the eight best defenders in the league.
You just have a bunch of dudes like Andre Robertson who are just
guys who can't shoot, can't get to the rim.
Need to defend
they can defend. I want to see that game. Truly.
Just get it. Just set up a one-on-one that's Evan Mobley versus Ben Simmons and see who wins. And Evan, nobody get mad at me. Evan Mobley's a good offensive basketball player. But that would be an amazing game just to watch those two lock each other up.
That'd be a good.
Speaking of top tens, you said JaVale's in the top 10 of a bunch of stuff. Through 23 games, we have the top 10 3-point percentage leaders, and wouldn't you know it, as we all predicted, number one, Jonas Valanciunas.
It's big boy season.
Carrying the New Orleans Pelicans. They talked about, someone mentioned how much the Pelicans won the trade getting Valanciunas for Steven Adams. Like, Adams is like basically out of the rotation now. Is he on Memphis?
Yeah.
I think so.
He's like ineffective. Can't guard the pick and roll. Can't do a whole lot, at least in that offense. And Valanciunas is averaging like nearly 20 a game for the Pelicans and like shooting threes at a high percentage now. It's crazy.
Such a good basketball player now. Like, I mean, I was just thinking when we were talking about him earlier, all I could think about was how long ago it seems that he was like, I was hoping the Raptors would bring him on the court in playoff series and just be like looking at him and seeing food. And now he's like, it's just wild. I feel like
number one option.
I feel like he's become this very valuable basketball player, but without like overhauling his game that much, just like just really rounding into form at what he could be. Like he didn't, it's not like he like was like, okay, I'm a ball handler now. He stayed this giant bruiser. Mm-hmm. It was like the strongest dude on the court at any given time. He just is doing it as well as possible.
Yeah, and then he expanded his range, so now he like spreads the floor. Okay, I mean, the other night they beat the Clippers and he had 39. He shot 15 for 24. He had 29 points in the first half, and he was 7 for 8 from 3.
If
that's not before... that's so crazy.
He hasn't, but if before this year happened, before these like 20 games or whatever we've watched had occurred, if someone had presented you with a Jonas Valanciunas 50-point game, would you have said it was crazier or not crazier than the Corey Brewer 50-point game?
Not crazier than Corey Brewer. I think the Corey Brewer game is crazier.
Yeah, but crazier than Mo Williams.
I don't know.
I think I would say the Valanciunas one is crazy. Williams was a scorer.
Not knowing you'd have to assume he made 25 buckets in the paint, basically, or like 20 in the paint, and made a bunch of free throws too.
At least the Corey Brewer one's so nuts is because the only way I can imagine him scoring is on like a fast break leak out every single play, and I'm like, how did that happen 25 times? He hasn't done it, but I mean. It seems theoretically possible, and that to me would be one of the crazier than just about all of them outside of Andre Miller and Corey Brewer.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So go get it. Go get it, Big Science.
By the way, Kevin Durant's career high is 54. That seems low, doesn't it?
Isn't it until like last year, like Curry's career high was that 55 in the Garden, and I always thought that Curry should have had like a 65-point game to his record.
Yeah,
like he put up like 60 at some point last year or something like that, right?
Yeah, he had like a 62 game, I think.
Yeah, I just remember for ages it was that 55 in the Garden. I'm like, really, 55 is his career high?
I mean,
for the best shooter of all time. Yeah,
I think a lot of that also is because like some of his best performances happen within three quarters.
Yeah,
I mean, teams up and then they just sit him.
Yeah, but for ages, what, Clay had a higher career high than Steph?
Yeah.
Or not ages for like a little while, but
do you think that this season we'll get a Clay game?
I hope so.
I hope so,
I mean,
but
I
doubt
so,
it.
But yeah,
is he a few weeks away or a couple months
he's
away?
A few weeks away. A
few weeks away.
He's doing like full scrimmage now. I think they sent him to the G League for a couple days.
I feel like if we can get him back in form, which is obviously a big if, but like if he's still. Like Clay in general, which I'm going to assume he is because Kevin Durant has made me feel a lot better about guys coming back from injuries, if nothing else. I think we'll get a Clay playoff game in the sense of like more in the sense of like what he did to the Thunder game 6, Which obviously was nuts. I'm not saying it'll be like quite that level, but I don't think it'll be like a 60 point or like a 37 point quarter type game. But I think it'll be a game where he like the other team is pushing, and like Clay in the third quarter is the reason that the Warriors win. Like he ends up putting up like 38 in the game.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. I think that could definitely happen.
I think we'll get one of those in the playoffs.
On how many dribbles?
Oh man, coming off the injury, you got to assume he's going to dribble even less.
Yeah. Single digits, gotta be.
Yeah, get a game where we'll have at least one game where he hits 10 plus threes on under 10 dribbles.
Yeah.
Or under 1 minute of ball handling, right? Isn't that right? In the 60 point game, he had the ball for like 50 seconds or something like that the entire game.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
That's such a funny stat. Be topped in that way.
Yeah, probably not.
What's unbelievable is I still like, I don't think I can, like, Bill Simmons' voice gun to my head. I don't think I could say I think that game is crazier than his 37 point quarter.
No, I think the 37 point quarter is crazier, and I think that's less likely to be broken.
That is
like how do you do that? Even if you're like being so poorly guarded. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, what's the amount of guys who have ever even taken enough shots? Like, ignore makes and misses. Have even taken enough shots to hit 37 and a quarter?
Yeah, because, like, you can have a perfect team as a whole, and they probably still, like, might barely do 37 and a quarter.
Yeah, a 37 and a quarter is a really good quarter for a team.
Yeah, for a team that's, like,
seen over 40, like, a few times here and there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's just, yeah, no, I don't, that seems impossible. And the 60 point game would be almost anyone else in the league's most ridiculous performance. But it's for him. No, it's kind of like the, not to compare them because I like Clay, but how Kobe had the 81 point game, but he also had the 62 points in three quarters game where he was like outscoring the Mavs through three quarters by himself. Like, that's the level of like nuts Clay's two games are, where it's like, how do you have both of those to your record? You get one game like that.
Yeah.
For the record, the rest of the top 10 as of yesterday in 3-point percentage in order. Number 2, Patty Mills. Number 3, Joe Harris. Number 4, Alec Burks. Number 5, Bobby Portis. Number 6, Norm Powell. Number 7, Lonzo Ball. Number 8, Karl-Anthony Towns. Number 9, Doug McDermott. And number 10, Nick Batum. A couple of maybe the usual suspects, and then several like, whoa.
Yeah.
Alec Burks, now the starting point guard for the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wild. Kemba is like...
Kemba's fully out of the rotation.
Yeah, it's
wild when you get a straight up announcement that you're just not going to play anymore.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, he's still on the team. I'm just not going to play him anymore.
Yeah.
It do be like that for Tibbs.
Yeah, and that's very Tibbs thing, but it is kind of a bummer. They're showing on TNT also, they're talking about it, and like, Kemba's efficiency is like pretty bad. Like, if you, like, you know, like, stats aren't everything, like we know that, but like I think in the time that he's played so far with the Knicks, in the games that he started, he's like a minus 122.
I'll give you a stat. BIS, butts in seats, people show up to see Kemba at the Garden, baby.
Oh man.
They show up to see his team get outscored by 122 points over the course of 21 games.
Because of what he did during March Madness in 11 or whatever it was.
Because of the 6 OT thriller. He wasn't in the 6 OT game, was he? He was just in the... He just won the game on with the step back. Some generic sports film that like I don't really remember. Yeah, he won that game with the jumper, I believe. That's the famous highlight.
Mm-hmm. When the
it was quite a step back. He stepped back about 10 feet.
Did. He leapt back.
He really did.
You think he's ever done that? And then like him, you like him or James Harden, where they do those like gathers where they go really far back. Like James Harden takes like 7 steps. Do you think they've ever done it? And like as they were pulling up to shoot, realized that they had actually gone back further than they wanted to. Like, oh shit! Wish I was about a foot closer to the basket. I didn't need all this space. Like I feel like when Steph does it, Steph gets just enough space to like see daylight and just launches it above the guy. But yeah,
and he does it so fast.
Some of those guys, they really be jumping like 7 feet backwards, and every once in a while, you gotta assume they do that, and they're like, "Whoa, this is out of my range now."
Oops. Do you think, like, looking back at when the Hornets kind of lowballed Kemba, that was actually a good move of them to be like, "Now we're not gonna pay you that much."
It's still shitty from like a. Like at the time feeling perspective, but like it's pretty much impossible to argue it wasn't the right move basketball wise. I don't know if that's why they did it, but he hasn't been good for like years now, and he would be still.
I think what makes it bad is just like them immediately signing Rozier to a big, like a sizable money contract. I think that's what made it like, okay, come on.
Well, like they've gotten lucky here with LaMelo falling into their laps, but like. Like, there is something to be said for, like, you've been hopeless forever. You get one fun player and you let him leave. Like, that can still be a negative move, like emotion of the fan base wise. But strictly, yeah, like, team building perspective, they would have had Kimball on a big contract and he would have been stinky for almost every year of it. He would have had, like, one good one.
Mm-hmm. Just kind of like when. The Celtics got rid of Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
And like everyone, I think everyone, it was fair for everyone to be upset after that playoff series. Cause like that was like heart and soul. Like he gave them his all. And also he did have a good season.
Mm-hmm.
But like, damn, has he not played since then?
It's still just so wild. It's wild to me how guys can, like, I know he had the injury, but like it's wild to me how guys can just like fall off the face of the earth. He was fifth in MVP voting.
Yeah, and didn't he lead the league in scoring that season?
And he now legitimately can't make a team.
Yeah. And then, I mean, yeah, he can put up 70, 80 points in a pro-am game, but like that's pro-am. That doesn't. He made such a big deal of that too. He's back? No, he's balling up on people who will always ball up on.
The fact that he is in a pro-am officially means he's not back.
Yeah.
If he was back, he'd be in the league.
Yeah. I think he cursed himself. I think when he, in that Celtics series, he was like, they asked him like, oh, are you trying to get a new contract with Celtics? And he said, they got to bring in the Brinks truck for me. The maximum capacity load for a Brinks truck, it's $1 to $2 million. And that is the highest that he's been paid since then, I believe.
That's brutal, man. He really, yeah, that is worse than Schroeder. And not worse than Schroeder in the sense that it's his fault, because there's nothing IT really could have done in this scenario. It's not like he turned down money or something like that, but ouch, just in terms of pure like reversal of fortunes, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I like to think that we're the only pod doing 21 pods on Isaiah Thomas. We hit the topics that other pods are afraid to. Who's talking about the tiny sportsman these days? We are. That's who.
Speaking of forbidden topics, I've got a good Reddit thread here.
Oh, okay.
The prompt from our NBA was, what is your pettiest take on the NBA? I'm looking for real pettiness, none of that half-hearted stuff. Could be that you don't want a player, team, or coach to ever win a ring. Maybe a team you just want to sweep out of the playoffs due to previous matters. Give me your pettiest takes on the NBA right now.
I've got a perfect, even related one. Just off the top of the dome that I've sincerely held for years.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
Isaiah Thomas should not have been fifth in MVP voting. That incredible year he had, he should have finished behind John Wall.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Credit to his team for winning the series. Credit for Kelly Olynyk carrying them to a Game 7 victory. But he was not better that year than John Wall was.
Speaking of John Wall, did you see, like, I've seen so many tweets of people being like, I hear the Knicks are interested in trading Kemba for John Wall. And it's like, they can't afford that.
There's only one player who can be traded for John Wall, and it's Russell Westbrook.
Yep. Yeah. Amazing. Okay. The first one is from a Charlotte Hornets, former Charlotte Bobcats fan, who said, I don't want the Houston Rockets to take our record.
No, that's real. I've felt that on the baseball sense when the Orioles got beat like 30-3. There was a game in the past couple of years where another team was infringing upon. They were getting close to getting beat that bad, and I did not want it to happen. I was like, no, we have like one thing. We're the worst. Don't take it from
lowly records. Yeah. Next one. I don't know if we're going to be able to bring up the photo of this somehow, but Kevin Durant's leg skin looks like Doc Rivers' voice.
Yeah, we can retweet that. We'll retweet that.
That was brutal. That had KD down bad.
Yeah, he actually got upset.
Yeah, he said, y'all got me upset. I'm about to call y'all broke.
That was a perfect response. Without actually responding, but responding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the nuclear option. That's what LeBron pulled out after the 2011 finals. That's what that's the last resort, but man, it's a good one.
That's a true take, though. I agree with it.
Yes, no, they're spot on.
Yeah. Or maybe Tibbs also.
I want Kyrie to get traded to the Kings.
Oh, man.
You got to feel in some ways bad for the Kings for just catching strays like that, but it's fair.
Yo, is the Kings news, was that after our last episode?
Oh, yeah, I think so. They fired their non-existent
coach. Let's get into that really quick, because this is like huge news for us.
Yeah, they didn't have a coach, and now they officially
now they have a coach.
As coach before.
Yeah, now they have like a coach with coach. Like, yeah.
Congrats to Alvin Gentry.
Alvin Gentry, new coach. Great news.
Do you think Alvin Gentry can still dunk?
I remember that video
of him when he was a Warriors assistant dunking?
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago. It was a few years ago.
Alvin Gentry memory will always be after them winning the championship and him getting hired in New Orleans, him yelling into the cameras on ABC or TNT or whatever, like, Anthony Davis, we're going to be here in a couple years. Like, next year, this is us. But right when he got brought on, somebody immediately tweeted out, Alvin Gentry's all-time coaching record, and it's just awful. And I'm like, is that really where we're at? Like, he just came on as an interim coach.
That's amazing.
Yeah, great news though. I guess now that he's not the Kings officially fired their non-existent coach, let's bring him up one time. Luke Walton's last game as the Kings coach involved a courtside fan blowing chunks onto the court.
Yes.
It was the Puke Walton game.
It took them 20 minutes. It was a 20-minute game delay. They had Slamson, the mascot, helping clean up.
Oh, man.
They put Slamson to work.
I got to find the Gobert quote now because that was excellent. I'm pretty sure we retweeted it after it happened a couple weeks ago. I will find it. Anyway, yeah, the Puke Walton game, excellent. Okay. Rudy Gobert on if he'd ever experienced that before. Very ominous, first of all, if you don't know the context. quote, No, first time. Life is full of surprises. I hope he was okay. I actually made eye contact with him. He was smiling. He was smiling and throwing up at the same time.
That sounds like a proper drunk lad.
Oh, man. And of course, it's like Gobert with that quote, too.
All right, next petty take list. I hope Adele dumps Rich Paul and makes an album about it that goes diamond and sweeps the Grammys.
Okay.
Wait, which team's fan base do you think is currently the most mad at Rich Paul? Who'd that come from?
Lakers, I would bet.
They just mad?
I don't know. Isn't he LeBron's agent?
He gave him LeBron and Anthony Davis. They can't be mad at him yet.
Yeah, they love him the most.
You think like the Pelicans are still furious at him now that they even have Zion?
Probably.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's not like it's going well, but
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, they got Zion. He's not playing.
It's Rich Paul's fault that Zion weighs 400 pounds.
He sabotaged them. That's a different take.
I can't stand Dante Exum because he talked smack in my career in 2K, and he couldn't back it up because he sucks.
I think about that sometimes. Where is he? Is he still in the league?
I think he's still on the Jazz, but I might be wrong about that. While we're looking that up, here's a kind of a thinker, actually. Last name Junior on the back of a jersey is grammatically incorrect. The junior only modifies a first name and last name together. A last name stands on its own.
What about senior? Like Morris Senior?
I think that also applies.
Probably the same.
In the same way.
I don't feel like I can accept that because the players' names aren't fully represented on their jersey. You know, like, the last name on the jersey doesn't represent their full name either. They have other parts to their name.
Fair point.
So it's already we're implying the rest of the name there, so I think it's okay.
I think Dante's on the Cavs now?
He might be.
Cavs legend, Dante Exum.
Oh, boy. Shadow Realm.
Hey, they're okay.
They actually
have Shadow Realm, but they're okay.
Yeah.
Well, Evan Mobley is going to single-handedly drag them out of the Shadow Realm.
Oh, hold on.
Our boys, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen.
So, Exum was part of that. Dante was part of that multi-team trade with like James Harden and Jared Allen and all that. And he was sent to the
Rockets. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then he was waived.
He was on the Jazz up until that point, right?
Yeah, he got waived.
An extension from them, I think. Like, he was on there for more than just his rookie contract.
Yeah. He re-signed with the Rockets in September, and then in October was waived.
I knew he was on the Rockets at some point, but I could not remember when.
Yeah. So, I don't think he's anywhere right now.
Waved goodbye to him.
Oh, brother. Next take.
I don't know if it's petty for me as a neutral fan, but it'd be hilarious to see the Mavericks go against the Clippers every year in the playoffs and get knocked out by them every single time. Check standings. Mavs 5th and Clippers 4th. Here we go again.
Oh, let's go.
I love that the Clippers, for the life of them, cannot play a new team in the playoffs. They play the Grizzlies for 5 straight years, then they play the Mavs for 5 straight years. They refuse to mix it up at all.
Yeah.
They are a team that is insistent upon getting a rival.
But without, like, earning the respect of any other fan base.
Oh, yeah. No, just through pure repetition.
Yeah.
You're going to hate seeing our jerseys.
Speaking of the Clippers, how do we feel about the Staples Center being renamed the Crypto.com Center starting on Christmas Day?
Let me start with this. It's so stupid that people are like, it's always going to be Staples Center to me. Who fucking cares? It's just like, it's just a brand. It's a corporation. You don't care about Staples. 2001.
The Staples brand like, is iconic to me.
Yeah, Paul George was like something about like, oh, but it's always like when I was a kid, well, you can't do Staples. It's like, bro, when you were a kid, you went to Laker games.
Yeah, like, you did not.
It's
come
the same
to
building.
You can be nostalgic about arenas' names, but not if they're already named for like corporations.
Yeah.
If they're named like for a player or a famous coach or for mm-hmm. the team itself, absolutely. But if they're already named after freaking Staples, you don't get to care anymore.
Yeah, it's not like it's not changing what's inside. It's not changing like the vibe.
Just yeah, Staples the sign Center inside has will change. Called, it's been called that since 1999.
Yeah. That's it. It's but that being playing at crypto.com arena, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, no, the new name sucks, but it's no like it travesty blows. That we're losing the old one.
Yeah, I think it's all in agreement there.
Yeah,
it's a name that's fittingly lame for the Lakers, though.
Yeah,
the Lakers should have to play in crypto.com.
That's the Sixers jersey patch sponsor, also.
Oh, perfect.
This is it's a loose brand. They'll lay with anyone.
Yeah.
I think actually the worst part of the new name is at the fact that it's .com is included.
Yeah, that kind of
Crypto Center, Crypto Arena, while still insanely lame, is not to the level of bad that Crypto.com Arena is.
Mm-hmm.
Or Center.
Feels like the name of a like C tier college football bowl game.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Yeah.
The Bad Boy Mowers Crypto.com Bowl.
Oh, speaking of crypto, Steph Curry changed his Twitter picture. I just realized the other day his Twitter picture is one of those like monkey NFTs. I mean, like, we knew he was a dork, but this is like broke.
I just saw a player tweet about how they've like joined with a company to invest in this service that will allow people with NFTs to print their NFTs for the first time.
Yeah, I just bought a printer the other day. I got it at Staples Center.
When they do the Staples thing, it reminds me of every time like I'm on Twitter and some old head, and by that I just mean somebody older than me, is talking about an arena around the league that used to be named something else but has been named what it is now ever since like I was watching basketball, and they'll be like, it'll always be this to me, and I'll be like, yeah, but it's not that to like anyone from the past like 30 years. So what does it really matter? Like, you have to call it by its current name to get us to know what you're talking about. Like, even ones I've learned, like, and I'm sorry if this is more recent than I know it is, but like every time anyone's talking about Portland, they're always like, it'll always be the Rose Garden. And that's a dope name. I'm all for it, but like nobody calls it that in like regular conversation because no one would know who you were talking about.
Yeah. I saw, I think this was on Twitter. I saw someone be like in, you know, in those discussions, it should be like about the Kings. It was like, well, Kings are always going to be sleep train to me. And I'm like, I was thinking like, you know, they built a new arena like across town. Like, it's not even the same building.
You're like,
yeah, it's not even the same.
They're just not in it.
Yeah. It's so stupid.
You know, well, old head is an offensive term to us elderly. So.
Yeah, I was getting real worried that I was going to go on all that, and you're going to be like, it was the Rose Garden until I was 15 years old, and I was going to be like, ah, shit, I really don't know when it changed.
I have no knowledge of that.
Who has, like,
you're clear.
Like, aside from crypto.com, which also, like, it's so funny that they're making a big deal, like, it'll become crypto.com arena on Christmas Day. But I don't care.
Such a momentous occasion.
That's not what I asked for Christmas. That's whole.
I am confused that Staples apparently had a lifetime contract and this happened.
You know, 22 years can be considered a lifetime to many.
What I was going to say was, who do you think has like both the best and worst arena sponsor name? I will start with Little Caesars Arena in Detroit.
Does it have to be strictly NBA basketball?
No.
The best one is Louisville basketball plays in the KFC Yum! Exclamation point center.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Yeah.
Pelicans play in the Smoothie King Center, which is
pretty good. Excellent.
I kind of like
Smoothie King is good enough to for that to be good.
Yeah.
Somebody was posting one the other day where it was just an absolutely horrible named one, and I had to look up who played in it because I didn't even know. Like, but it was
college. Totally.
No, I think it was a an NBA team, but now I've got no clue who it could be.
Maybe I can pull up like a list of NBA arena names.
While you look it up, here's another petty take. I don't know if it's that petty. I think it's just a hot take or a mild take. I think the Kings are overrating their pieces. They should definitely trade some for Simmons.
I'd love Simmons on the... Wait, you say on the Kings?
Yeah.
Yep.
I just took that. I was looking at the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I was like, yeah, I'd love him on the Wolves. that's not what the take is. What would he even do on the Kings?
Yeah, I don't know, because right now they have like, well, Luke's gone, so I don't know if they're still gonna run that like three guard.
Yeah,
like, three.
I'm just like, I guess it's funny. Like, I know like Philly fans want him to go there as like punishment for what he's done for his sins, but if you're the Kings, like, what does adding Ben Simmons possibly do to your team?
I think it depends on who you're trading away, though.
If they can trade Marvin Bagley, then I'm down for it.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. I got to assume that.
Like, Aaron Fox has been pretty horrendously bad this year so far for some reason.
Least improved player award?
Every metric.
He needs a career renaissance.
Really bad.
He does.
There was ever a player.
I mean, maybe. Because they have Halliburton. Obviously, has been pretty good.
And Buddy Hield. Davion
Mitchell is like good. I hope they keep Buddy Hield.
Well, they're
especially now that Luke's gone.
I just saw a monstrous block in this game, but they're still trying to trade Buddy, even when he's like one of the only bright spots on their team.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if that'll change now that we have like a more competent coach in.
Here's a petty take. I hope Buddy Hield plays his entire career with the Kings over the shadow of maybe he'll get traded every year for the next like 15 years.
I don't want that for Buddy's mental health,
but I would love for him to just exceed expectations over and over. And they're like, well, we can't trade him now. Yeah. And he just keeps doing it. Well, we have to extend him now. Well, we have to retire his jersey now. That's what I want the trajectory to be.
Can the new coach repair their relationship with Bagley? Can he get another shot in Sacramento?
Honestly, I bet he's played a little more since then, too.
Okay.
He's actually getting some minutes on and off now, which is like more than 0 minutes. I think it's possible. I think, like, honestly, I
think he probably ends so much in a piece of a trade somehow still this year, but they're trying to at least showcase him, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I honestly, it seemed like based on post-game interviews, I don't think anyone respected, like, Luke anymore. Especially based on like, you know, like stuff Tristan Thompson was saying. Okay, I have a list of current arenas up. I don't know what your worst one was, but
the Fiserv Forum has really grown on me. I think the Forum is a fun.
I think it flows so well.
I don't know
if it's
the Fiserv Arena, it wouldn't be as cool, but the Forum is cool.
Yeah. I think Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse is bad.
That's awful.
Little Caesars Arena is so good.
What's amazing is while you were saying that, I was Googling, while you were saying Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse is bad, I was Googling Cavs arena name because I knew it was terrible. And I was like, what's old Quicken Loans guy got his stadium named?
check this out. Denver Nuggets play in Ball Arena.
That used to be the Pepsi Center, and it's now the Ball
that's
Arena.
That's what it was.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
I hate to be a cliche, but like the classic names like Madison Square Garden are obviously fantastic.
They are.
Like, I like even I know it's a brand, but like TD Garden. I like anyone that's basically named the Garden.
Yeah.
A garden of some sense. Has one of my votes for worse, but this is just due to personal exposure with the company. I don't know how like countrywide Spectrum is or if it's regional, but Spectrum Center for the Charlotte Hornets is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You should be ashamed to have your arena sponsored by them.
Oh, man. Agreed.
You should have accepted less money from someone else. Does anyone remember when the White Sox did the agreement with 7-Eleven for all of their games to start at 7-Eleven?
No, but that's all, cool.
All their it was when I was a kid. I remember it was in the newspaper. They did a sponsorship, and all of their 7 o'clock games got moved to 7-Eleven.
That's awesome.
You know, this was years ago. I think this was when I was in high school. The Kings, I was like, only for 1 or 2 years, the Kings played at Power Balance Pavilion. Remember those like Power Balance bands that were like cool for like 2 minutes?
They like balanced your electrons or whatever they said.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it was pretty big in like baseball for a minute.
Baseball players live for that shit. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They were either like necklaces or like wristbands. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was both.
Mark Cuban did like a giveaway at their arena of those like wristbands, and like fans were just like peeling the little sticker off, and it was just one of those like Live Strong bracelets otherwise.
Yeah.
It was like a big, not big scandal, but like it was found out like these are garbage, what you just gave us.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a free thing, so like nobody really cared, but.
But like as a brand, they fell off real quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they don't work.
They low key fell off.
Okay. That arena sponsor did not last.
All right. I have a couple more pretty good takes in here.
Okay.
I don't want this to happen because it would be a waste of talent. But if Zion got all the way fat, like Michael Sweetney levels, it would be funny.
Okay, but I want to be nice just in case, you know, there's like an actual problem. But how far is he? Like, if he's what we saw at Media Day, he's wildly out of shape. Like, I didn't realize how bad it was until they showed pictures of compared to what he looked like in college.
Like, I mean, he's a big also, dude. Like, him doing the pregame workouts.
Yeah.
This season. Still, like, seems a little bit out.
Just not like looking like an athlete, really.
I know.
Yeah. And looking like a big athlete. Dude.
That's what it is. But in his college pictures, he looks lean now. And he was playing at, like, 280, 285 in college.
Yeah. He was always, like, because that was always the thing. He was, like, he was big, but you could still get it done.
Yeah.
Because he was so strong.
If he looked that lean at 285 compared to what he looks like now, I think that north of 300 thing's an understatement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder. I mean, honestly, I think it's just because, like, I don't think the team was, like, working with him over summer to be like, well, if you're hurt, then we need to make these adjustments to, like, lifestyle, workout,
it kind of seems,
eating.
And I don't mean it as a shot at him, because it kind of just seems like with the Pelicans, they seem like totally inept as a franchise, and I think it kind of just seems like he stopped giving a shit about them.
Yeah, I think it could be definitely combo, like, and I think it's just like he's a young guy.
Yeah,
like you see so many stories of players being like, when I entered the league, you know, like my mentor that I played with taught me like, hey, like, over summer, you know, or you get hurt, something, you got to eat right. You got to change, like, everything. And, like, I don't think Zion has that guy because he's on the Pelicans. And, like, I don't think...
David Griffin playing the piano for him.
Yeah, see, like, like, there's nobody, like, I don't think there's anyone in the organization that's, like, thinking of being, like, you know, oh, you probably need some guidance here, young guy in the league. The way, like, most other teams have.
I know it's not like they get a free pass as a franchise by any means. Like, they get made fun of all the time. Mm-hmm. But pure and simple, they probably deserve what I'm assuming is really the Kings title as the most inept franchise.
Yeah.
if unless the thing you're, and I don't think you can penalize the Kings for this. They've had better luck, lottery luck than the Kings, so they've had better chances.
Yeah.
Than the Kings had, but they have gotten Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, and Zion in 20 years, and it looks like they're going to get absolutely nothing out of it.
They had Drew Holiday too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fair to say they got nothing out of Chris Paul. They had good teams, and good teams isn't nothing. But like Chris Paul was an MVP level player, and Anthony Davis is at this point he looks kind of like a borderline top 10 guy. The other day I felt really vindicated. I looked up a take from like before last season and said, is it a hot take to say that Giannis is better than Anthony Davis? And some people said it was. Never forget how quickly the story changed on Giannis. He had to get that title before anybody was ready to mess with him.
And even now I think he's still underrated.
Yeah. I think it's
all NBA community, or at least, finally becoming properly rated.
Yeah, I think any take outside of the three best players are Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Steph Curry in some order is a little ridiculous at this point, which that's not that fair because Nikola Jokic has been absolutely absurd.
That's true.
But those are the guys, and it's not that Jokic isn't good in the playoffs, he's incredible, but those are the guys I've seen get it done all the way to the highest level. I've seen Jokic, I think, right now is like number one in every advanced stat all time. The season he's currently having, so it's a little unfair to him. But like, I'm tired of hearing Kawhi compared to Giannis. Like, let him come back and prove that he can still do it before he gets to be included in that conversation.
Yeah, definitely. And
Giannis is still the age where he brings it on every night too, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I'll say that.
But yeah, they wasted Anthony Davis, and somehow I think they're going to waste Zion even more. I don't know if I can accuse them of wasting him yet because he doesn't play, but
yeah,
they're definitely blowing it so far.
I pray that James Harden never wins a ring. If that insurance fraud style of basketball leads to a championship, I might quit sports.
Oh, I've never heard it referred to as that. That's pretty good. He's definitely struggling a bit this year. At least as far as scoring goes.
It didn't get as much press, obviously, as Kimba, but I saw just today or yesterday that Blake Griffin has also been formally removed from the rotation.
Yeah, at least he's not starting.
Oh, okay.
He didn't play the other night at all, but yeah, the LaMarcus Aldridge starts now.
That's wild. Yeah. I mean, not in a mean way of any sort, but it's got to feel some type of way to lose your job to the guy who almost died last year and had to retire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, man, I'm healthy and that I'm not good enough for that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting things going on out there. What time is it?
Final quick one from this thread just says, screw Zaza Pachulia.
That's fair.
Clay's doing rehab with him. I'm like, man, that's a dangerous game.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're like friends. It's weird. They're like good friends.
That's pretty like they were talking about the warm-up games he was running with Zaza and Barbosa and stuff, and I was like, I'm not sure I would have him near my guys who were rehabbing, but
oh yeah. I think he works there. I think he works with the Warriors now.
I think so.
Because Barbosa, I know Barbosa does, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he's an assistant coach.
Yeah, so.
In some capacity.
Yeah, so he's working there. It's interesting. Interesting. Okay, we've reached like a little bit over an hour, but I think before we go, I wanted to run through one idea. This is going to be in place of by Thinker, because I don't have a little Thinker fun tweet for this week. But so NBA, you guys know NBA 2K. For those who don't play a lot, 2K has this mode where you pretty much collect trading cards. And there's like new cards, new players, old players. And then they have this, and then you like build a team and you play with them as a team. And then they have limited cards that come out like every week called Moments cards. And it highlights, it's a card with a rating based on that player's performance in a certain game. So, like, Curry had that, you know, 40-something game. Mm. He got a Moments card. Jordan Poole had a Moments card for one of his big games. Valanciunas is definitely getting a Moments card, you know, this next week.
3-point shooting.
Yeah, like, it's going to be a high-rated card based on that. So they have the good Moments cards. What would be the best, worst Moments cards?
I got, when you asked, the two that immediately leapt to mind were Ricky Davis and JaVale McGee's triple-double attempts.
And Kevin Porter's.
Oh, yeah. I think
took it away from him.
I think Ricky, you get the Moments card, and his stats are upped, but every other shot he accidentally takes at his own bucket. JaVale, after he gets 10 points, he can't make any more shots because he's trying to get offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
That's the moment that... Oh, and then the classic answer would be, what's his name? John Starks. Guy who shot the Knicks out of the championship. He gets perfect in every skill, except he can't make any shots for the entire game.
But we can make Moments cards here. Yeah.
His confidence is not high.
We can make just low-rated Moments cards here, too.
I think a terrible card to get in the game would be, like, an Ersan Ilyasova with, like, platinum-level take charge and nothing else good.
The Tony Snell 26 minutes.
Yeah, the Tony Snell game. It's just low rated everything.
99 stamina.
Yeah, you just run up and down the whole game. Carver is incredible.
Never gets hurt, never comes out.
Oh.
LeBron James Moments card for last week. It just, like, the stats are pretty good still, but then, like, the frequency of flagrant fouls is just up.
And you then get the card.
Toughness is all the way down.
Yeah.
You get the card, and it just looks like in the style of, like, how, like, the UFC game gives it to him. It's like, right elbow, this 84.
Yeah. We could also give Isaiah Stewart a card. Toughness is, like, all the way up, but, like, you cannot control the card. When he's like, if someone fouls him, he's just running across and you can't. Yeah, your controller is like
unhinged,
is not responsive.
Ooh, unvaxxed Kyrie Moments card. He's
good.
He's excellent, but he can't play.
Yeah.
He's always a DNP scratch. Coach's decision.
But oh my god, he's so good.
Damn.
Oh,
probably a couple more.
That game 6 James Harden versus the Spurs, when he just, like, gave up completely and wasn't even trying by the end, that would be an incredible one. Oh, I want a Moments card.
All energy in the fourth quarter, like, all of his step, but he can't come out of the game.
I want a Moments card specifically for that play Harden did earlier this year where he, like, acted like he was going to pick the ball up and then let the guy
just scoop
it up and go score.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just
zero.
Throughout the game, at some points, he'll just set the ball down and the other team will run up, take it, and score.
Let's get a Harden Moments card also for that Warriors playoff series. Where his team as a whole missed like 27 threes in a row.
I want a full team card for that somehow.
Yeah.
27 missed threes in a row.
Yeah, one of the, like, legendary historic teams, and it's that Rockets team with zero on all threes.
You know, because they have coach cards. They don't have coach moments cards, but we could have the first ever coach moments card for Mike D'Antoni. And your team just doesn't make threes.
I want two Rockets teams.
In elimination games, specifically. Yeah.
Like, regular season, your team's fire.
I want two legendary Rockets teams. One, the 27 missed threes team, and one, the Josh Smith Rockets who came back and beat the Clippers by just like suddenly hitting all their threes, both of them would be perfect.
That would be.
I loved the Josh Smith Rockets so much.
That was an interesting time. It really was.
Josh Smith, he an all-star? He was. Wasn't
they won't teach your kids about that team in school, but they happened, baby. And they made the freaking Western Conference Finals.
Someday we need to discuss who's going to be, like, what team, what players are just not going to stand the test of time of this era of, like, the next generation of basketballers won't know. Yeah. Because, okay, I've been substitute teaching, and I was doing Phi Ed one time with high schoolers, and they were shooting threes in a basketball game, and I mentioned Robert Horry, and they had no idea who Robert Horry was.
And yeah, I'm not surprised.
They called him Big Shot Bob, because that was his nickname, because he has, like, six rings, all because he was just a clutch player in the playoffs, especially. And they were like, we have no idea who you're talking about. And I feel like Robert Horry is a pretty, like, at least middle of the road, like, noteworthy player. I don't know. He's not a Hall of Famer, but, like, the guy's got five or six rings, a couple of which he's, like, directly responsible for.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. The players like that, that'll just fall through the cracks within a few years. And
I think
never be heard from again, except when guys like us are talking about remembering them, and that's it.
It is our job to carry the
NBA.
It is our job to carry the torch for Joe Johnson long into the future, because I don't think any child will have heard of him. He made seven All-Star teams.
Yeah.
I feel like Mike Conley is going to be a big one that is just going to get forgotten.
That's so
sad. But he was so good for so long.
Yeah. Man. All right, I got one last one.
We'll discuss this further in the future.
Yeah, I got one last moments card for you, and it is the Paul Pierce poopy pants.
Inexplicably needs to be removed from the game.
Yeah,
like run an entire quarter, and then he comes back stronger.
He comes back
like a clutch game.
He can only crab walk.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're playing a clutch game and it's going well, and then like he's randomly hurt, and you're like, "Fuck, I have to use my injury card."
They report he's like out for the season or out for the game, and like there's a montage. It's like a wrestling montage of him re-entering the arena. Yeah. You never know when it's gonna happen, but it'll happen.
Man, all right, should we wrap up here? We're like an hour 20 into this, I believe. What are you guys feeling?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. Hey, don't let's not give it all away for free.
any last words?
This is I'm gonna make my last words just a theme of whatever I've got on my TV at the given time. I have a new theory that Franz Wagner, Wagner, however you want to say it, might have been the best player in basketball history last year, because he's in the league now, and this Michigan Wolverines team sucks ass. They stink so much, they're so bad. I can only assume that Franz Wagner was Michael Jordan level good.
Indeed. Time will tell.
He's on the same team as his brother now, right?
Yeah, they're both out of Orlando with Cole Anthony.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe the best post-game interviewer in the league right now.
I adore him.
Joe, those are all my final thoughts, too.
Okay. My final thoughts will be just a quick description of the best tech foul of the season so far, which was Monty Williams last night, thinking that the Warriors called a timeout after a big play. And just walking out onto the court and like to go talk to DeAndre Ayton. like the balls, they're still playing on the other end. And Monty's just like on the, like, the middle of the court. And then he gets called for tech and he's like, oh, they didn't call a timeout. Oh, my bad.
It's just like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. 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 He's not upset about it at all. He's like, oh, I thought they were going to call a timeout.
That's on me, boys.
Yeah, it was totally like that energy. He's like, oh shit, my bad. Oh, that was good. Well, I think we did good today.
I think we put in a good day's work. Thank you, Joe, for using that hand symbol this time.
Yes. Well, that is that. Again, you can catch us live on most Wednesdays. I mean, we had a bunch of shit come up last 2 weeks, but we should be back on schedule. Yeah, most Wednesdays, 6 Pacific, 8 Central, 9 Eastern. And then in the next day or two after that, obviously these recordings go up. Yeah. And I always remember that we love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.